How the U.S. is becoming a haven for the world's rich and powerful to secretly stash their money. From Marketplace, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. Over the weekend, several media organizations, including the Washington Post, published details from a trove of documents they're calling the Pandora Papers. The papers, leaked to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, allege a new network of offshore accounts benefits some of the world's most powerful and wealthy citizens. Debbie Senzipper is one of the reporters who worked on the project. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Can you give us a sense of the scale when it comes to all of these hidden assets?
What this investigation uncovered is 29,000 accounts for people all over the world, including more than 300 public officials in 90 countries. More than 100 of the world's billionaires are in this cache of documents. And we've also found, and we'll be reporting shortly today in the Washington Post, a number of people from outside the United States who have moved their assets here to the United States. And they did it while they faced very credible accusations of wrongdoing, corruption, human rights and labor abuses, and those sorts of things. So really, as a reporter, it's really been an eye-opener.
You know, it's interesting. We don't often think about the United States as the place where people hide their money offshore. It's usually the other way around.
What the Pandora Papers did is really shine a light on that. I mean, there is no more offshore. It is onshore. And what we'll be reporting today is that states that you would least expect to see this happening, places that are not known financial centers, are actually harboring assets of many, many people. States like South Dakota, for example, in the heartland of the U.S., Alaska, Nevada, New Hampshire, have really become global destinations for foreign wealth.
And what does that mean for American citizens?
It's not illegal, right, to move money offshore, to manage wealth by moving money offshore into, for example, a trust in the United States. That's okay. It's the problem is when you do it to evade taxes, or when you do it to shelter criminal proceeds, or to hide your money from creditors and legitimate creditor claims. If you're hiding your wealth from tax authorities, that hurts your community. If you're hiding your wealth from children who need child support, or, you know, ex-spouses who need the support, or creditors with legitimate claims, that is not a victimless transaction. And so we'll be writing about some of those transactions in the stories that we have coming up today.
Wow. Thank you so much. Debbie Senzipper is an investigative reporter with The Washington Post. She's part of the reporting team that recently published and is still publishing an investigation called The Pandora Papers. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you.
And for more on what's ahead in the markets this week, I'm joined by Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. While there's lots going on, the big number we're waiting for is the monthly jobs number, which will come out on Friday. Julia, what are you watching for with that?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety about this report. It's very important. The Fed is set to reduce its bond purchases if this is a decent report. And yet there's been some signs that maybe hiring has slowed. Last report was disappointing. Some of the high-frequency measures of hiring, like jobless claims and other surveys, have shown some weakening. So there is some anxiousness that this might show a slowing trend in hiring.
And speaking of things moving slowly, we're watching these negotiations on Capitol Hill over the infrastructure bill and the reconciliation bill.
Oh, yeah. So it's a razor's edge for both of these bills. If they get passed, immediately attention will turn to what's in them and how that will impact the economy, and it will be meaningful. And if they don't pass, then all eyes will be on the removal of fiscal support, really, at the end of the year when the child tax credit expires. So it's quite important for markets.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you.
Thank you.
And a former Facebook employee who anonymously leaked thousands of compromising documents about that company revealed her identity last night. In an interview on 60 Minutes, Frances Haugen accused the social media giant of putting its own profits above everything else. The BBC's James Clayton has more.
Frances Haugen said she had left Facebook earlier this year after becoming exasperated with the company. Before going, she copied a series of internal memos and documents. There were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook, she said. Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money. Facebook has said the reporting around the leaks has been misleading and has glossed over positive research conducted by the company. But it will be bracing itself for more from Ms. Haugen. Tomorrow, she will give evidence to a US Senate committee about the company's research into Instagram's effects on the mental health of young users.
Apartment rents usually fall in the fall, but not this year. Nationwide, rents are up more than 13% since March of last year, according to new data from the rental site Zumper. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
At the beginning of the pandemic, there were a lot of open rentals in Scottsdale, Arizona. And local real estate agent Jermaine Villeneuve says there were lots of deals, too.
Everyone was just trying to renew rents, keep everyone happy.
But now landlords have the upper hand.
They go through 50 applications, cherry picking the one that, has all the right credentials, the right credit score.
Rent for a one bedroom in Scottsdale has gone up about 23% since the beginning of the pandemic. It's now the 10th most expensive rental market in the country, according to Zumper. Jeff Andrews, who wrote Zumper's report, says that's because people have been flocking to the area to buy.
They're either just totally priced out at this point, or they're just tired of dealing with the competition and they're exhausted, so they're not even looking.
Would-be buyers have also overwhelmed the rental market in Dallas, Atlanta, and Boise, places typically known for affordability. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And in the not-so-affordable market of Washington, D.C., I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.